Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Tosh here with another episode of the Video Game Bang podcast. Tonight, I am joined by two very enthusiastic and knowledgeable people to discuss some gaming news with me. First, of course, we all know the resident soapbox stander, game yeller, because that's a term, and all around fun person, Emma Skies. How's it going?
I'm taking every part of that as a compliment.
That's the only way to take it, because that's the only way I meant it. I know we're in 2020 still, so things are rough, but how have you been since the last time you spoke to the VGB people?
Stressed, trying to get a freaking PlayStation is how I've been.
Oh yeah, can that, because we're going to talk about that, because there's a lot to talk about around that topic. And of course, the next person joining us, probably the only person in 2020 who's actually winning, Kyle Wynn. What's going on, man?
That's a god. Yeah, it... The name says it, but it doesn't feel like it sometimes. It's still a rough year, but it's going all right. I don't know, dude. There's been some good things happening in recent weeks for me, so I'm hoping good things are around the corner. So it feels good, but you know, we got lots to talk about. I'm always excited to talk video games with some video game people, so I'm excited to be here.
Always happy to have you here. I have to say, as much as you try to convince me otherwise, still sounds like you're winning more than most other people in 2020. Won't hold that against you, though, my friend. So much to talk about. We're not going to waste too much time. We're going to pretty much jump straight into it. Thank you for everybody who's tuning in on Twitch, as this is broadcast live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. So if you are one of our normal podcast listeners, feel free to tune in and see our lovely faces or Emma's amazing golden hour avatar on her picture.
And I have to turn my webcam on.
This is true. But hey, that's fine, because if you don't already know Emma on her own Twitch channel, I highly advise it. She plays all sorts of great games over there. 100% way more games than I ever have in my entire life. And I am considerably older than her. But again,
never we're going to...
Never won, dude.
Yeah.
Never won. Oh, man. We're in the same group right now, Kyle.
Yeah.
We'll have to console each other later, but we're going to talk more later about some of the games that Emma's been playing. We do have a few things in store for y'all tonight. Of course, we're going to talk about everything that went on with the PlayStation 5 showcase and some of the stuff that went on after that wasn't so savory for some of us. We're also going to talk about some of the things going on with Nintendo and one of our favorite friends that's been with us for a long time in their product line that is going away, and that also lends to something new that's coming from Nintendo. Hogwarts Legacy controversy. Mr. Wynn's going to talk about that one. I'm sure Emma's going to join him in on that. A few game reviews at the end, and a not so happy update that we will be giving you all later on. But first things first, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Emma Skies,
what
did you watch that everything? And you know you did, okay? And don't try to deny it. But other than that, Sony PlayStation 5 showcase.
Oh hell yeah!
What are your impressions before we jump into everything? Just how did you feel? You know, just going through that and checking that out.
I mean, I'm not necessarily the person that they're trying to target with this, I think, because I already knew going into this that I was getting a PlayStation. So I'm not going in looking for them to convince me. I'm just like, I want to see some new shit. I want to see some updates on some stuff we already know about. And I already know I'm getting this console. So it was, I mean, it was good. There was some stuff in there that like I didn't particularly care about, but I know a lot of people are very excited about, like Final Fantasy 16, I know was a huge announcement from them that I could not have cared less about, but I'm happy that you guys are happy. Another one was like Demon Souls. I know that's another one everybody's super excited for that I'm just like, I won't touch this game with a 10-foot pole, but I'm happy that you're happy. But we got a really good look at Miles Morales. And that was kind of, that was one of the highlights. We got some gameplay on that. We got a bit of the story. We kind of know what's going on in the game. It looks good. And my favorite part of it, my favorite part of everything, is that they talked about how it's 1 year since the events of the first Spider-Man game, which is a fantastic idea to me, because that means that we get to skip over all of the, you know, I don't know how to use my powers. I don't have access to everything I can do yet. Like, I don't really know what's going on. Like, he already knows what he's doing. He's new, but he knows what he's doing, which was my favorite thing about the Spider-Man game, was that you're playing a Peter Parker 10 years into it. So you don't have to go through the growing pains.
Totally.
So that is exciting.
Yeah, I think that's like the only one that I'm really vibing with out of like the ones that they're really pushing hard. Like, I think God of War will be interesting. I still haven't played the newest one, but like, I know it's really good. I have it on my shelf. I just haven't like put it in the PlayStation. I need to. Same with Horizon. They're doing a new one for that. But like, Demon's Souls was never my thing. Final Fantasy, never my thing. There's a couple other ones that they announced at the first special access announcement-y thing that they did.
No bug snacks updates. I will tell the people that they had bug snacks updates.
I want an update on that cat game too.
Me too. That's I was thinking that the whole fucking time, because they played that trailer in the pre-show and then they gave us nothing.
That's all I want. And I want them to finally announce when Skate 4 is coming out, but that's so far in advance, it's just not going to happen.
I'm guessing 5 years on that one.
Yeah, probably.
We got, for some reason, a Fortnite trailer, because I don't know if there was some sort of question that Fortnite would not be on the PS5, but now you know.
GTA, too. They're like,
yeah, that was bizarre.
Big whoop. It's a 7-year-old game at this point.
Was that the one they started the Xbox showcase with? They started with, like, GTA 5?
I remember. I think it was the first PlayStation one they did that, and everyone was like, oh my god, dude! Oh, it's GTA 5 again.
But we got more Deathloop, which every time we see one of these, I'm not expecting to see Deathloop, and I'm always overjoyed that we do. That game looks fucking phenomenal. It looks so good. Every time I see more of it, I'm just happy.
I want it on PC. I refuse to play any sort of shooty game on a console, but like, I will play that game to death if it comes out. It looks so good.
I guarantee it will, because it's Prey and Dishonored were both on PC as well.
Right. Oh god, Dishonored. Like, that's what I loved about it. It's like, it gives me like Dishonored vibes, but it's also not like leaning so hard into like, hey, you remember Dishonored? We're kind of like Dishonored. It's like, it's its own self standing thing, which is super awesome. I'm excited about that one.
It's got like the traversal of Dishonored with like the blinks and the way that he moves and kind of even a little bit of the combat, but like the soul of it is very much its own thing, which I'm super excited for. And you kind of got a bigger look at how the game's going to work. Cause basically you play Cole or Colt. I'm not really sure. But you play this guy, you're stuck in a time loop and you have to kill 8 targets to end the loop. And the hard part is that you have to kill them all in the same loop. And that's obviously, you know, kind of your problem is that you can't get all 8 at the same time. So what they walk you through in the trailer is finding a way to get 2 of them together in the same place at the same time so you can take them out together and save yourself some time. And it kind of sounds like the whole game is going to be built on how quickly can you do this? How many of these guys can you get in one place? How many different combinations of things can you change? Like, if we, like in this one, if you mess up one guy's day, like his experiment that he's running earlier in the day, then that messes up his whole day and he ends up in the same place as the other guy. Ipso facto, you can kill them at the same time.
So it's badass Groundhog Day?
Yes. Very. Okay. And it looks like there's a lot of different like combinations and a lot of different decisions you can make to make that happen in different ways. Mm-hmm. And then along the way, you have a rival assassin that's just trying to kill you and you're her only target. So she doesn't have the same restrictions you have. That game looks fucking phenomenal. I cannot wait.
Dope.
Yeah, it looked pretty interesting. The whole timey-wimey, you know, dilemma of it, and then also not having them all in the same place. I thought that was pretty interesting. What about, I mean, we already talked about a few games that there was no surprise that they did some, you know, that they did some trailer or some announcement for. What were some of the games to y'all that just looked like you have no desire? There's no way that you're going to give any of those games your time.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Racing games. Any racing games or any of the seasonal sports games, the 2Ks, the FIFAs, the... Any annual game I'm not huge into.
Yeah, I think the two we mentioned, the Final Fantasies and the Demon Souls, were my, like, okay, I'm going to take a break real quick, go get something to drink, and I'll come right back.
Yeah.
Right. It was crazy. For me, it was actually one of my favorite, I guess I have to say my favorite gaming franchise, because one of the games from it is my favorite game of all time, and it was Resident Evil. Resident Evil Village... Right. Yeah, like the graphics and everything look really good, but nothing else about it actually seemed like a Resident Evil game to me. And I felt that way the very first time when they showed the first trailer. And this time I was hoping that they would win me over, maybe reveal a little bit more that kind of made it feel a little bit more like a Resident Evil game, especially since, you know, we just gotten the remake of Resident Evil 2 and the remake of Resident Evil 3 recently. But it still just feels too much like a Resident Evil 7, and which Resident Evil 7 was a really good game. But again, to me, it didn't feel like it was a Resident Evil game. It just felt like it was a really great horror game where Resident Evil slapped on top of it. So yeah. That was probably the biggest disappointment. I was really looking forward to the next trailer from that too. And it did reveal some new stuff, don't get me wrong. But nothing, I think if anything, it just turned me off even more and kind of solidified the fact that I am not looking forward to that game. But
it's funny that you mentioned that, because like mm-hmm. I remember getting the same feeling from this trailer that I did the first time, and the first time I saw it, I was watching it, I was like, this looks amazing, like this looks like a really cool horror game. And at the end you get the, you know, it says Village, I'm like, cool, it's a game called Village, it's a new IP. And then they put the Resident Evil, and the second they slapped the Resident Evil name on it, I lost all interest. I was like, oh shit. But not because it looks bad, but like I was like, okay, cool, so now I know this is not a new IP, this is the 8th installment in a franchise I've never played, so I'm not gonna just jump into it. And I lost all interest. And the same thing happened this time. I was like, this looks so fucking cool. And then they did the same thing in the first trailer where, like, I think Chris was the person whose name they said. And that was your oh, my God. And they were, like, throwing out names. And I was like, I don't know who these people are. I can't play this game. Like, I don't know what's happening. And it's funny you compared it to 7, because 7 is the only one I have played specifically for the reason that people told me I could do it without the other games.
Exactly. There's no lore. You don't need any history. You can jump right into it. And it is a really good horror game, but it's true. And it saddens me too, because me getting back into streaming and everything, I see that Capcom has a sale on Switch right now. And I'm about to grab a bunch, because some of the Resident Evil games I didn't really play. Like 6 I didn't play. 5 I played a little bit. But I'm about to grab them all and go through them in October. Mm. But gosh, I really wanted 8 to be a thing, but I felt the same way that you felt. We went through the game, it said Village, and then it said Resident Evil, and then they took the Village thing and made a little 8. And I was like, I bet whoever took Village and made the Roman numeral 8 out of it just probably thought they were so clever.
Yeah, that's been a really big trend amongst games lately, is how can I turn the number back into a word or something?
Right. I'm like, whatever. But outside of that, was there anything notable for us to mention about the showcase, what happened during the showcase?
So the other big one was the Harry Potter game that we finally got a trailer for the first time. So this game has been in development for a long, long ass time. We've kind of had rumors of this secretive open world Hogwarts game that have been floating for years. I remember when we got that, what was that mobile game? The Hogwarts Mystery mobile game. Everybody was like, was this what we've been hearing about for years?
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, it's a real game.
Well, for this? Yeah.
So as far as things being kept under wraps, like this one, other than the fact that like we knew there were rumors that existed, came really out of nowhere.
I saw like 8 months to a year or so ago, I saw like, it looked like it had been recorded on someone's phone or like an old Nokia phone video of like some gameplay of like a world. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then it was like a Harry Potter MMO. I'm like, oh my God, I need this. And then as of late things, I'm like,
God.
maybe I don't need this. I want this, but I also want other things slightly more.
Like, so yeah, and then that, so off the, yeah, there's all the controversy now with the absolute monster that J.K. Rowling has turned out to be, the absolute just trash person she's turned out to be. And yeah, now there's a big conversation about whether or not people are going to buy this game, specifically because they don't want to support her. And it's
right,
like, there, you got strong opinions on both sides of it, because she really has turned out to be the biggest piece of shit.
So yeah, and it's super tricky because, like, I know a lot of people will, like, understand there's some people who worked really, really hard to make this game that, like, are maybe not sharing those views or view the entire opposite thing, and they really want to right the wrongs. But at the same point, like, you're working on an IP that the owner of it is a not good person, and it's hard to not support them but also be a fan of that IP. And so, right, like, I had this debate with my wife of, like, okay, well, I believe that the studio already paid for the license, so I don't think she would get residuals based off of purchases. Well, then you still are supporting the IP, which is then furthering people buying licenses and not saying that, like, the IP is toxic or you can't touch it or whatever. And so, like, oh, I'm just, like, it... It's a decision. It's like a clear decision, but it's not like, it doesn't still suck that there's a great game that you just can't play.
Yep.
Or, like, shouldn't play, or it's probably a good idea to not play.
What surprises me that hasn't happened already is that I would expect that the easiest thing that the studio could do right now is put out a public statement against everything she believes. That would be the easy. I don't know if there's any contract in the world that would keep them from doing that.
But yeah,
that's their number one move right now. If you know that people are going to not buy your game because of the people who own the license to it, just put out a public statement that you don't believe the same thing.
And it's not like it's Star Wars or Call of Duty, towards an IP to where a lot of the people are not of the same stance or whatever. Like,
incels.
Yes. And so, like, who will play this game? Like, not your standard, at least in my eyes, not the standard, like, Call of Duty or, like, hardcore RPG, like, elitist type of people. Like, this is a thing that, like, the life of this game relies on the studio doing a PR thing, condemning what JK said, and finding some way to undo, like, either, hey, by the way, so 6 cents of your game may go to her, but also $10 of this goes to this other charity organization or some other certain thing like that. Like, you might be able to save it, but otherwise this could be absolutely dead on arrival.
So I realized as we're saying this, we've been talking around it, kind of assuming everybody already knows. And I assume most
that's
people
true.
Do know.
Yeah, it's true.
The
You're
whole
right.
controversy comes from the fact that J.K. Rowling has turned out to be a massive transphobe. There's a whole internet rabbit hole that you can go down if you're very curious. But she basically just is a huge transphobe. She's kind of been doubling down on it, tripling, quadrupling down
digging
on it.
Digging that hole deeper, deeper, deeper.
Her new book that's coming out is something that she apparently has written just to further her own beliefs. It's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. So there's a big backlash in the community of, you know, we don't want to support a transphobe. We don't want to give her money. And this is kind of this thing where, like, everybody's going to find their own line of where they're willing to stand on this. Because, I mean, we're streaming right now on a site owned by Amazon, which is a corporation that a lot of us think is not great, where a lot of us are still on Facebook, a lot of us still a lot of people still eat at Chick-fil-A. Like, there's everybody has their line of what they're willing to do.
And one thing that I do want to say is, for the people who, and, like, this is, like, kind of my angle, right? This is my world, right? As a game developer, like, how does this affect the game developers who spent maybe 4 years, if not more, on this project that they could be absolutely just, through no fault of their own, in the ground? For the most part, no game dev ever sees residuals on a game.
Right.
Regardless of the game succeeds or fails, the devs have already been paid. The true question comes into how big of a team do they keep on after launch. I've heard statements from various people in the industry that, like, most people just get dropped after the project launches anyways.
Yeah.
And they have to find new jobs and reshuffle anyway. So, like, it's not like your money is going to go to keeping these game devs employed. Like, that's for the most part, unless there's significant evidence otherwise. But like, for the most part, what I've heard is like, it's you're not paying to have these people staying at, you know, employed or
like
anything.
It's gonna
like
go
that.
To the company's execs. It's gonna go to their next project. Yeah. It's gonna go to Yeah, it's an ugly thing, and it's a hard one because you know that line of people that feel very strongly about these social issues and people that are huge Harry Potter fans is a very like that Venn diagram is a circle.
It's a pretty.
So you're having a lot of people that have all these strong opinions that are having to grapple with the fact that this thing that's made us immeasurably happy our entire lives, and you know that we're generally so excited about, we're just kind of having to go, oh well, this is, I wish I could be happy about this. It looks the game really looks really fucking good. The game looks so good.
Literally a year ago, if it was released a year ago, I would have, or I maybe a year and a half, I don't remember exactly when the thing started, but like I there was no question in my mind when I first heard that it was rumored, like, oh yeah, okay, I'm gonna get this seems super fun. I've been wanting a new MMO. Like, there's been nothing new in the recent years. It's shaked up the genre enough, and this is exactly that. It's just...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how sales do. They've got some time to do some damage control if they decide that they're going to. It's supposed to come out in 2021. The fact that we don't have a release date makes me think probably Q3 or Q4.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
But, I don't know. I don't know. There are things they can do to mitigate the fallout. It's just going to be a question of if they do it, and if they don't, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because their silence right now is pretty deafening.
That's the other thing too, is by saying nothing, you're saying a lot. And if I don't know, like they could be completely like the dev wants to say, like the developer studio wants to say something, but Square Enix is like, or not Square Enix, whoever, Warner Brothers wants to be like, no, sorry, you're gonna be quiet on this one because we need to make $1 trillion more off of this IP. Yeah,
who knows?
We're gonna see. I think if they don't say anything, I would very much not be surprised if a bunch of people at the studio just quit before it came out. Anyways, like, listen, like, I don't want to be part of this thing. So
that could be the case. So many people caught in the middle of it, and that's one of the most unfortunate things about it. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what WB does. But yeah, to your point, they are hemorrhaging a bunch of money, especially after being owned by AT&T now, and AT&T. Hemorrhaging a bunch of money with all the layoffs and whatnot that they've been doing recently. We're gonna see where where they stand ultimately on this. It's gonna be a big statement either way. So that's some of the things that that happened during the PS5 event. But yes, Emma,
you're gonna trigger me.
There's even more.
There's more, especially
the memories, the PTSD.
What happened after the event? Oh, so after the event was a little bit of a poop show. M Skies, you seem to have a little bit of a shield from it, but not much. Why don't you tell us what happened when everybody left out of the virtual PS? Well,
so
not virtual.
I still
but
don't
digital.
Know what happened. I don't know the order of events that happened. No fucking clue. But at some point, some retailer, and I don't know who was first, but some retailer decided they were opening up their PS5 pre-orders without telling anybody, without doing anything, without announcing anything on Twitter. So I believe we had last heard from Sony that this was on the 16th, and that on the 17th, some retailers would start opening pre-orders. Within less than an hour of that tweet going out, pre-orders were live fucking everywhere. I got a like massive like panic text that were like, pre-order for PS5 is live right now. Like, go to the Best Buy. I can't. I'm stuck in my cart. I spent 2 hours stuck in my cart on BestBuy.com. It sold out on Target. It sold out on Walmart. Mm. It sold out at GameStop. I called every GameStop within 50 miles of me. They were all gone. My Best Buy cart never ended up fixing itself. I went to Fry's Electronics. How desperate I was.
Is that even still open?
The graveyard.
Barely. Okay. At one point, I had called a GameStop, and this very nice girl named Allison answered the phone, and I asked her if she had any, and she said no. And she was telling me, she's like, as far as they knew, they were in the store, they were watching, you know, they were watching the live stream with everybody else, and they had no idea. They didn't even know. They're like, we didn't even know they were going live tomorrow. We found out when everybody else found out they were going live tomorrow. So I guess at one point, they got a phone call from somebody asking if they had pre-orders, and they said no. And whoever had called them said, well, my friend just got his pre-order at a GameStop over here. So her district manager was like, you know what? Fine. Just open the pre-orders. Yeah. Open the floodgates for everybody.
That's how it has to be. Like, I've seen a bunch of other things like this with any news story. Like, even if everyone's like, okay, we're going to wait until this particular day to drop it. As soon as one person does something, every other company is like, absolutely damned if they don't at that point. So like, if it was, we'll say Circuit City was the one who dropped it first, and then everyone else after the fact has to come do it after the fact. Like, you can't wait until after Sony said, like, you can't not do that at a certain point, because then once everyone does it, no one's guilty of it technically. Like,
right,
you can't fault every single retailer for doing it, and so Sony can't be that mad at them, I guess. I don't know.
It was terrible. So one motherfucker started it, and then it just dominoed, and it was not good. It was very, very not good. People started posting videos back from a talk that I think Jeff Keighley had done with somebody at Sony back in July, where he had asked, he was like, you know, do we know about PlayStation pre-orders? Like, I heard people were lining up outside of stores. Nobody knew why. And the guy from Sony very much assures him. He's like, you're going to know. Like, I don't know what people are talking about. You're not going to have, like, a minute's notice. You will know before pre-orders go live. And everybody's like, so that was a fucking lie. But yeah, so online retailers kind of just, it just went to shit. You know, it was an entire day. They ruined my entire Wednesday. I had a whole plan for relaxing day. It was ruined. I'm very upset about it.
And let's double back a little bit. So we could see, obviously, there was chaos. The biggest thing was that, number one, they said everybody was going to be informed, but they didn't let people know. And most people thought that they were going to find out during the event. Not only that, but Sony had told people a long time ago, I think it was PS Now members, PSN? Maybe.
PSN. I know what you're talking about. Yes. That was bullshit.
Yes, that they were going to give them the basically a little bit of earlier notice, kind of like, you know, save the spot in the line for them, since they've been, you know, dedicated Sony PlayStation supporters, to get an opportunity to get it, get in there before everybody else did. And then it was supposed to be opened up to everybody else. Big thank you to Lincoln Break in our chat. So we found out that the person that really encroached on it, because since Sony didn't set a date, they didn't let everybody know the date inside of the showcase, Walmart went ahead and tweeted first. And we have the tweet right here, thanks to Lincoln Brink in our chat. That's why it's a good thing to watch us live on Twitch, because we have a really dope chat with people that help out. Walmart, and I quote, on September 16th, make you wait for the new PlayStation 5? ? Nah, that's not like us. Go on, pre-order it now.
What a bunch of bitches.
Oh, freaking Wally. So if everybody knows who to thank for a chaotic freaking day that day, damn Wally World, the corporation that never surprises any of us with how low they will go, they were the one that unleashed and opened up the floodgates.
Bunch of bitches.
Yeah, well, good thing I already don't shop there ever.
Yeah, you're definitely saving yourself some heartbreaking embarrassment. So after all of that happened and all that craziness that everybody in some way experienced, whether it was yourself trying to get your PS5 and whether you got it or you didn't, all your friends, people sending up tweets, who got the link to the PS5? I need to buy one. One of my favorite parts that happened throughout this whole thing was from Emma's good friends, the Microsoft group. Emma, did you see that tweet?
Yes, I did.
That Xbox put up. Do you have it in front of you? Yep.
I don't have it, but basically they put out a tweet that was like, yes, you will know it's going on Tuesday morning, not early. This is exactly the time. This is the date. Don't worry about it. You'll all have a chance.
Paraphrase, good. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and quote the tweet, because it was some of the finest shade I've definitely seen in 2020 from the Xbox Twitter account, September 16th. Pre-order, finger pointing emoji, September 22nd. Worldwide launch in 36 countries, finger point emoji, November 10th. Hype, finger point emoji, 9,000 plus. And then parentheses, don't worry, we'll let you know the exact time pre-orders start for you soon. And then they put up the prices for the new consoles. And everybody, I mean, it went viral. It was hashtagged all over Twitter. It was trending. And I just was sitting up there like, oh my God, I am not an Xbox person at all. But the shade and the way they went about it also just, you know, especially with the whole war, we all sat up there for how long was it? Did we all witness the, you know, these two walk out the saloon doors? It's high noon. They're facing each other. Guns are about to draw. And we're just waiting to be like, who's going to draw first? Who's going to tell us the price of the console? Who's going to show us what all of them are like? And the only reason why Xbox had to go first is because their information ended up getting leaked. So how sweet is it that they got leaked, so they had to put their stuff out? PlayStation comes behind them and tries to show them up, and then this happens, and Xbox
drops their puffs all over the floor and fumbles around, and Xbox can just stand there like, really?
Yep. Really? This is
what a fucking mess. So we totally skipped over the fact that PlayStation did announce a date and price.
Yes.
So the physical edition will be $4.99 and the digital edition will be $3.99, which is pretty much what we all guessed. And the date was what, November 10th, or November 12th?
The 12th.
I want to say it's 12 because it's 2 days after the Xbox, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I believe Xbox is launching November 10th and PlayStation is launching November 12th. We all knew that they weren't going to beat the Series S price because that $300 price tag is just, Sony's not going to beat that. They're just not.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody expected them to. I think the Series S is pretty underpowered compared to the PS5, but the Series X and the PlayStation 5 are the same price for the physical, at least.
Yeah. At least, you know, as messy as it all was, a little messy for both sides, more so from the PlayStation side, at least we finally know what the consoles look like now. There's no question about it. We know when they're coming out and all of that stuff. So it's all out in the ether. Now, I do want to ask this question to you two. Now that we know those two things, which do y'all feel like is the better deal? Let's start with Kyle.
Dude, I don't know. Like, both suck because I would, like, the only reason I would buy one is to play the exclusive games and also use as, like, a home theater-y thing so I can play movies or whatever on them.
Right.
Like, Xbox has always kind of been dumpstered in terms of exclusives, which in my mind, like, the technology, the hardware is usually pretty similar between both, so it doesn't really come down to a huge, like, frame rate thing or 4K. Like, I don't do 4K yet or any of that stuff. And so it really just comes down to exclusive games, and I've not played or not been interested in Halo since, like, Halo 3. So PlayStation's probably going to be what I buy, but the fact that I have to spend an extra $100 so I can get a disc drive is kind of silly, considering, like, I'm pretty sure disc drives by themselves aren't that expensive. They're just upcharging it, like, a lot, it feels like.
Heck yeah.
Did we ever figure out what the differential on storage was, or if there is one?
The way that they're explaining it, it's literally like regular plus with a disk drive. It doesn't seem like there's any major differences. Better be some more storage in there. I don't know, dude. Like, that's dumb if it doesn't. Like, because literally, like, one Call of Duty game takes up like half of a terabyte hard drive these days. Like, you better come chock full with like 5 terabytes or something. I think they said it was like a terabyte or two as a solid state drive, which is pretty sick.
I know the Series X has a terabyte drive, and I want to say the PlayStation physical has an 825 gigabyte drive, and then I wasn't sure what the digital was. I don't know if they either never said or they're just like, it's the same.
But Emma, if you asked people at Sony, it's not the size of the drive, it's the quality of the drive.
I guess. The speed of the drive. So.
Yes, as long as it's in a solid state and can hold more than 2 games, I'll be okay. But, like, come on.
I always end up buying I have an external drive for my Xbox anyway. Because I want to say mine's 500 gigabytes, and that's not gonna hold.
That's nothing these days.
So I think I have a 3 terabyte that's attached to it. But I think hardware wise, if someone wants to correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the Xbox is slightly more powerful, like the slightly more powerful console, and it really is just going to come down to which exclusives you like. I tend to go for Xbox because that's where my exclusives are, which I really love. But I'm kind of like, I mean, I've mentioned before, like, I don't really buy into the whole console wars thing. I think if you play games, you play games. And if you think that you're better than a PlayStation player because you play Xbox, or you're better than an Xbox player because you play PlayStation, you're a child. But, you know, whatever. What's going to be interesting to me is going to be the Series S sales, because the Series S is a really genius move on Microsoft's part, I think. We were talking about this in a group chat a while ago, where if you already have an Xbox One X, if you have your top of the line Xbox, the Series S, don't, like, you're not going to buy it. There is zero point in buying it. It's almost a downgrade in some ways because it doesn't do 4K. It plays the One S version instead of the One.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're like putting any games that you can't also play on the Xbox, the Xbox One X or whatever the latest ones are. Like, right. I don't think that you're missing out on anything.
Yeah, for the first year, they're not putting out any games that aren't also playable on the current gen. So they're going a very different direction than PlayStation. So I think the whole console wars thing doesn't really make sense anyway, because they have a very different business plan this year. And given the fact that they're doing payment plans, that, like, they are making their point here is to make gaming as accessible as possible. Yeah. They're doing payment plans. They have a much, much cheaper console for the next gen that's going to play all the next gen games. This really is a move to just get people into the Xbox ecosystem at whatever, you know, however they can.
And yeah, and it's genius too, because they have such like $100 less, and like how many people, it still is like, I think 120
bucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True. The yeah.
It's $300.
I guess then the lowest PlayStation.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But it's still like super high frame rate, can still push 1440p, and so like it for the anyone who's not like super duper duper hardcore, which are more people. More people are not hardcore than are hardcore.
Yeah, casually.
We are the minority.
It's such a it's such a like a absolutely why would you not answer for why would you pay an extra $100 for like playing on a TV that you. You know, who still like has a 1080p TV? A lot of people. I still do, and I'm pretty like hardcore into tech and all that sorts of stuff. Okay. But like, yeah, like I think they're cornering the market on the like non-hardcore gamer audience, which is a big audience, and it's a smart idea.
And then they're getting people in with Game Pass. Like, they're going to get people into the ecosystem, and then once you're in there, they can sell you Game Pass, they can sell you software, they can sell you different games. Like, once you're in there, they have you, and then they can work on selling you other things. So this is going to be one of those things where, like, I'm not surprised, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if, like the PS4, the PS5 ends up outselling the Xbox Series S and X in terms of hardware, because that's not really what they're trying to do. Like, that's not their main goal the way it is for PlayStation. Like, PlayStation is very much, like, it's not backwards compatible with 1, 2, and 3 because we don't, like, that's not what we're focusing on, because we want you on this machine, this hardware, this right here. And Xbox is like, we just want you to play Xbox games.
I have to read something though, based off of that. Here's something. This is a tweet that IGN put out on September 13th. And my friend Hector was like, this gave me anxiety trying to read it. IGN, and I quote, "The Xbox Series S will not run Xbox One X enhanced versions of backwards compatible games, but will instead run Xbox One S versions of Xbox One and Xbox 360 titles."
I don't see why that's
Yeah, let's talk about the horrendous marketing that Xbox has had in their console names literally since like the 360.
I understand what they're doing now, I think, with the whole series thing, but keeping the S and the X is
going to confuse the shit out of people.
Like, I think I get what they're doing with series, because they're going to go away from the generational thing where we went from the Xbox to the 360 to the One. Like, they're going to kind of get away from that, and then you're just going to have different series of the same console. But, like, pick different letters. I'm literally begging you.
Yeah. Xbox One, Xbox One X, Xbox. Oh, like, oh my god, just stop, please. I don't care. Just do. Give me a year, dude. I don't care. Like, give me the Xbox 2020. Sure, dude. I like. It's. Oh my god.
Or let's fucking just iPhone it. Like Xbox Series One, Series Two, Series Three. So that's done right there.
Just keep it nice.
And you could do Xbox, you know, 10S or X too. Like, so you know the different versions, but like at least have some quantifier as to which. generation we're in or what realm of the generation. It's so confusing,
dude. I feel bad for parents on Christmas trying to buy for their kids.
Oh, God. How many accidental purchases?
So hard. I mean, the good thing is they don't really, like, they discontinued the 1X. They don't make that anymore.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get that confused, at least. But they do still make the 1S.
Yeah, very, it can be confusing, but luckily that's why some people have us. You can always listen to the Video Game Bank podcast, and we'll try to make sense of all. Educate yourselves while we educate ourselves. Now, and before we wrap things up, Sony did, in their showcase, try to add a little additional value to PS Now, but I think it's very, very apparent. That's what I was about to say. It's very, very apparent that still the Game Pass is just the way to go. Like, I'm not an Xbox fan. I've been a Sony PlayStation fan since PS1 came out, and I got it immediately for Christmas, and it was awesome. But here's the thing, that you can't beat that deal. I mean, like $2.99, and then from the money that you would save from it, just grab the Game Pass. That's the steal of the century. That, like, as much as I love PlayStation, I just don't think you can compete with that. I just don't think there is a way that you can.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Xbox, like, really pushing for, if you buy it on Xbox, you also own it on PC now too?
Yep, because if you have Game Pass Ultimate, then Game Pass Ultimate includes both Xbox and PC.
Holy crap, dude. Like, I mean, that doesn't really affect me because I would do PlayStation just for exclusive. But, like, still, that's a really good deal. And, like, that's the benefit of also owning the software manufacturer for 90% of, or I guess maybe 60 or 70% of computers in the world right now. Like, that's a pretty good deal.
Sony's PlayStation Now stuff was very clearly a jab at Game Pass. It's their attempt to match Game Pass, but I was looking at that. It's all old games. Like, the newest game you're going to get on that is God of War. It's all super old game. Well, not super old, but it's all games that are already out, that you already have, that you've already played. They were also already bestsellers. The thing that makes Game Pass is that you're getting first party games day one. That's fucking, I still can't believe that's
super good. Yeah.
Every time, every day, I imagine that they're going to rescind that because the deal is too good. Every single day. So, like, I'm like, I don't have to buy Halo. I don't have to buy Ori. I don't have to buy Outer Worlds. I don't have to buy, like, all these games that are first party. So if PlayStation really wanted to match it, they would make their first party games available on PlayStation Now, and they're not.
And they have the better first party games too, which is my thing. Like, that's Sony's bread and butter, is that, like, the studios that they have under the Sony banner, the Insomniacs, the Naughty Dogs, Santa Monica Studios, like, they have such great, like, first party content, and they just don't quite have a handle on utilizing it to the best of their abilities at the moment.
Cowards.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, out of the two big titans always going at it, and we were watching, like we said, that standoff happened for a while, and on to, you know, the third party who always sneaks in here and actually ended up outselling all of them with consoles,
yeah,
and that's Nintendo.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, interesting news, and in this one is kind of a twofer. So it had been, you know, official, and it had finally been announced by Nintendo that they are putting our good old friend to bed. The 3DS, or the Nintendo DS line, I should say, as a whole, is being discontinued. They are finally putting it away. They will no longer be manufacturing the DS. Oddly enough, I think a lot of the developers will be probably still, or at least a good amount, will probably still be coming out with some games, because surprisingly a large number still are. But that's just, I think, from the sheer number of units that have been sold in the DS line since it first got introduced way back in the day. So we got that official news. And then around the same time, it was interesting because we had been talking and hearing rumblings about Nintendo doing some sort of Switch Pro or maybe Switch 2, the next line. And it was really interesting because we got some news that Nintendo had reached out to a lot of developers and started telling them, hey, start preparing your games for 4K.
Saw that.
Right. And then around that time, you know, we also were reminded by the fact that Samsung and the AMD, those processors, or I guess, is AMD and NVIDIA together?
No.
Okay, they had me separate. Okay, because I know
don't
that there
quote
was
me on that.
So what's fine. The question exactly? So NVIDIA and AMD are very often on the opposite sides of the two battling against each other in terms of GPUs and stuff.
Right. Often. There were some occasions that they actually did work together. I know that there was some Mac related stuff that they did. But with them battling, we saw that not only that, but Nintendo, I guess, is looking to potentially upgrade their chips as well. They haven't officially said anything about a new Switch coming out, but with them discontinuing the DS line, and it's obviously that they're focusing on the Twitch and then telling the developers, ready the game for 2K, it's kind of a very hot rumor going on right now that we could be looking at potentially getting closer to some new Nintendo Switches coming out sometime in 2021, potentially, is what people are projecting. For me personally, I have a PS4 Pro, but there is no console that I play more than my Switch. The way that it's portable, how easy it is to take around, playing in dock mode, for all those people that are in the Nintendo family, I think that is big news. Now, Emma, I know you're not a part of that family, and we won't go deeper into that.
I was just thinking, I was like, if they put out another version of the Switch, that might be great for me, because they might discount the Switch, and then I can get one super cheap, yeah. And I can finally have a portable console, because apparently my motherfucking iPhone can't run xCloud. Not that I'm bitter about it. It's fine.
So, it's always funny to see, like, Nintendo, like, yeah, maybe we should do 4K. Like, every other console's been doing 4K for, like, what, 2-3 years now? They're like, yeah, maybe we should try that whole 4K thing. Like, yeah, we've been doing that for a hot minute, y'all.
Sell them.
Yeah.
Exponentially.
Well, so, like, what I said about Sony, and they have the best first party, like, okay, well, Nintendo truly has the best, like, first party exclusive-y stuff.
It's like
because
the same four first party games every time. Yeah.
But those four carry with the weight of substandard hardware and worse graphics, all that. Like, those they just are so much better than in terms of, like, how much people love them and stuff like that. Like,
I don't know who sold their soul generations ago at Nintendo, but they were like, these four games will keep you going for the rest of eternity.
Some sacrificed unicorn somewhere at Nintendo HQ or something. Yeah, like, I'm wondering if they're gonna... So, was this, like, due to... You said something about the different GPU manufacturers each pushing to get better stuff. So, I was wondering if... Because I thought that, for sure, Sony ended up doing their own... started manufacturing, like, the individual hardware, like the GPUs and CPUs. And I know that, like, Apple just did that as well. So, I'm wondering if other companies are starting to follow suit as well, of developing their own, like, chips, which is an interesting thing. I don't know if Nintendo would be doing that, or if they're relying on NVIDIA /AMD/Intel on that sorts of stuff as well. I'm wondering if that's a new thing that's coming into the world.
Usually how Nintendo does it, and they're notorious for this, they're, you know, we all know that they're never cutting edge when it comes to technology, but what they have a habit of doing is, outside of, you know, sacrificing unicorns and selling their souls for just a few games to keep them is they will wait till technology becomes more affordable, and they just focus on kind of being unique and then putting that older technology into their unique systems. I think it's more so that the prices of the chips will come down for them, because they don't like putting out expensive consoles, and majority of the times when they have, that's been some of their biggest failures, like the Virtual Boy, the Wii U, you know, but when they stuck to their guns, you know, things that were unique and affordable, like the Wii itself, the Game Boy, and of course the DS line, that seems to be where they excel. So I think it's really just a matter of, you know, this technology, 4K being in games and all that stuff, has been out for many, many years now. So now those chips, those prices are going to come down, which allows them to give a better product, but still keep that product, you know, down around the margins and around the price points that they like to sell them for. And that's kind of been their recipe for success outside of, yeah, you know, like those, you know, the Zeldas, the Marios, you know, always developing you know, those games to be really good, because, yeah, you know, Mario Odyssey and, you know, Zelda Breath of the Wild, two of the highest rated video games of all time. You know, I think Zelda still might be, Breath of the Wild still might be number one. Like, fact check me, anybody on that. But, and then that was the other thing that was interesting, because was it last week or week before that, we had gotten rumors of a new Zelda game being developed and coming out. Mm-hmm. So getting this information this week now, and then the information that they're telling developers to ready their games for 4K, I think it's pretty apparent where they're moving on to. And to Emma's point, I mean, look what they've done. Even when they came out with the 3DS and the 3DS XL and all of those lines, they, for a long time, they kept their other lines going because they know, hey, we already keep the price point at a very desirable level. If we still keep those other ones going and we're able to sell those at an even better discount, you know, kind of to the point that Xbox is trying to, you know, do now, we just flood the market and we just get people in. We just get them into these consoles. And then from there, you know, we, you know, just kind of keep the games churning. So, and then of course they have the habit too of getting games that came out later. But the weird thing is, and I've experienced this too, I've had games that I purchased on other consoles that came out a long time ago. But then when it comes to DS, like I was saying, Capcom's having a sale. If they're really great games, I have no problem buying it again for only $20 or $15. Wait till Capcom has a sale and sometimes get them for like $8. And I can now, that game that I used to have to only play in my chair at home, I can take on the go and I can play Resident Evil 4 anywhere now. So Nintendo's recipe for success, it looks like it's gonna just kind of keep on churning. So hopefully all you Nintendo people out there are happy to hear that news. And now that we've kind of wrapped up everything that's gone on with mainly consoles and everything themselves and a little bit of game controversy, figured we move on to some quick bang-bang reviews of some games going on. Emma, like I said earlier, if you don't already follow her on Twitch, you absolutely should. Well, you're very welcome. I've been tuning in and I've been watching her play some of the new Avengers game. And Emma, what is you kind of gave us some of your impressions earlier on, but now that you're well into the game, why don't you go ahead and give us a quick review of the Avengers game?
All right, let me start by saying I want to like this game. I really do, and I will say, I like this game when it works. This game is very, very broken. When people ask me if they should get this game, I say yes when it's fixed. I would not buy this game right now for $60. It is crazy, crazy broken. I can't believe the amount of bugs it shipped with. The campaign is very short, which is what I've heard from a bunch of people. The campaign's really short. But it's a good story, and the biggest problem I have with it, other than its length, is the fact that if you like Thor, you are not going to enjoy the story, because boy, did they do Thor dirty in this game. He has like 5 seconds of screen time. It's very upsetting.
Dang.
So basically, the thing that kind of got me right off the bat is that the game that was advertised to us and the game that I got seem like very different things. We talked about it a lot on the show when it was being advertised. We were very excited to play this game that was Avengers story-based multiplayer, and you could just be the Avengers with your friends and play through this whole story. That is not the case. The campaign story is almost entirely single player. You cannot do almost any of it multiplayer, which is a bummer.
Yeah,
and which I didn't figure out until I sat down to stream with Aaron, and we both were like, cool, we're gonna play this story together like it was sold to us, and we realized that's not a thing. So we kind of ended up doing this thing where, like, we would play our story mission separately, and then we would come back and do, like, the multiplayer mission that we unlocked, and then we'd have to go back and do the single play. It was a whole fucking thing.
So dude, after Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I just had the highest of expectations, and if it wasn't, like, that same vibe of, like, anyone can just hop in at any point in time and play anything with the whole campaign, Yes. It just, like, it couldn't... I don't know, it just wouldn't hit that anymore. I don't know.
It's a bummer. And, like, I remember sitting there, and both of us were playing it, and we're like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, this was advertised to us one way, and now we're playing it, it's not that. Like, did I just hear everything wrong? But kind of everybody's on that same page, I guess. It took us an hour and a half to get into each other's games because of bugs that we couldn't figure out a way around. It was unique to the Xbox. There was, like, a setting buried deep that neither of us knew existed that we had to go and fix. Which was a whole hour and a half it took us to figure that out. I did see the patch notes, and that particular issue has been fixed. At least it will be when the update goes out. The multiplayer stuff that is there is good. It's very repetitive. It's, you know, you kind of go in and you unlock, you know, you have different, I've never played Warframe. I think I couldn't remember if it was Warframe.
Heck yeah.
Warframe. So Aaron kept comparing it to Warframe. He's like, this game is basically Warframe is what it's trying to be. So if you've played Warframe, perhaps that means something to you. I have not. I'm just going to throw out there. But so you kind of, you go on the map, you invite your people, you do these missions, but you're doing, you know, very quickly, you're doing the same things in the same locations with the same objectives and the same combat kind of over and over again. And it's fun. Like, you're having fun, you know, punching people and embiggening and flying and using the shield. And it's a, I mean, it's a good time, but it's very, very repetitive. And there's not enough content at this point to justify the fact that, you know, the campaign is so short that they really want you to get from the campaign to the multiplayer. And even the multiplayer is a little bit hard to get into if you're going for the campaign, because as soon as you go into the menu for the multiplayer, there are spoilers for the story. So you can't just like jump into it. So I reached a point where I wasn't, you know, I'm only streaming the campaign on stream. So I was like, all right, let me just go jump into the multiplayer. And I was like texting Aaron. I was like, can I get into this? And he said, no, there's a spoiler on the menu. So just don't get into that menu yet. I was like, cool. So I'm just stuck. It's just weird. I think once we get more characters, the characters they've announced are going to be free. So it's not like you're going to have to buy a bunch of new stuff. You're going to have to buy cosmetics, but you know, Clint and Kate and other characters, Black Panther, like you're going to get the characters for free and they're all going to come with their own story missions, which is good. But as it stands right now, between not having enough content and just being so utterly broken, we ran into the most ridiculously game-breaking bugs. You know, we were playing multiplayer, and at a certain point, I tried to make Aaron follow me to an objective, and we realized he couldn't see me. I didn't exist in his game. And it was weird because I started, like, throwing punches, and he could see the wind that moved, like, the animation of my punch, but he couldn't see me. And then later on, the same thing happened. His character was invisible to me. We had games that our games crashed in the middle of missions. We had graphical errors. The graphics look like garbage on my Xbox. They looked so bad. I had Bruce's beard kind of come in and out. Sometimes he was clean shaven. Sometimes he had a beard. If I got really close to him, he had a beard. And if I backed up, his beard disappeared. It was very weird. Like clothes that were clipping through people. It's a mess. So once it gets fixed, it's a really fun game. Like, that was a lot of shitting on it, but it's actually fun. The story's really good. The story that they did tell that's centered around Kamala is phenomenal. And once it's fixed, I will recommend people buy it. But it is super broken right now.
So that is your ultimate judgment, is for most people to wait, and it should get greater later.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fair. Yeah, around the time Black Panther comes out, that's probably when I jump in. And I do have a feeling, because that's kind of the sentiments that I've been getting mainly from you and then from other people that I've watched reviews for, is that it just wasn't polished, and they probably should have waited another 6 months. So in my mind, 6 months from now, it probably will be a really solid game. Hopefully it can recover and bounce back and pull people in at that point. But I'll definitely be waiting until then to play. So thank you for that, Emma. Appreciate the quick review. Let's go over to my main man, Kyle, real quick. And we're going to give us a little bit of review of Spellbreak. What's going on with that, Kyle?
So Spellbreak, I don't know when it came out, but it's like maybe a couple weeks old. And holy crap, I've already played 130 games worth. So like individual rounds of like a battle royale. Okay. And won like 20 of them. Game is so fun. So it's like a battle royale, but instead of guns and Fortnite buildings and stuff like that, you're a wizard or a sorcerer of some sort, and you have different like gauntlets, which are different like elemental weapons, and you start with one, and it's your lightning, fire, ice, stone, stuff like that. And you can pick up like a secondary, which you get some stuff on, and each has a different play style, and you battle each other flying around. There's high mobility, jumping around, flying around, rock smashing people. It's like, I don't know, it's just different enough from every other battle royale to where I'm just like sucked into it. Super duper fun. There's no like nothing that I find frustrating in every other battle royale game of like people hiding and waiting for 1,000 years and then eventually you run into a building and get killed. No building like in Fortnite. It was just not my thing, but like it's such a fun game to play, and it's not like heavily skill based where if you're not like a true aimer, like you can still do pretty good with all the abilities. It's such a fun game. I highly recommend it. I think it's on all major consoles like PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and I think it's cross-playable as well. I think you might be able to play with like PlayStation friends on PC and vice versa, which is one of my favorite things. I don't understand why a game cannot do that, or like why any games haven't like all done that now. It's such a great thing to see, is like no more limiting, like I want to play with my friend but he's on Xbox, I'm on PlayStation. Like, no.
What was the game where they accidentally activated crossplay? Because they, like, everybody kind of says, like, oh, it's a whole thing, you know, we can't really do it. And then some game accidentally activated.
I don't remember that. I remember it. I remember it existing, but I don't remember who it was or when
and
that
then
was.
Everybody was like, you're all full of shit. You can do it. You just choose not to.
Yeah.
You did it on accident. But anyway, continue.
That was great. Okay.
Yeah. So. But anyways, great game. Highly recommend it. Super fun. Like, no bugs, no big issues. I mean, there's like a couple of bugs, but they're super minor. Get some really high highs playing that game. I love it.
Man, it sounds like a bunch of fun. It might be something that I might have to slide into. We'll see here. Thanks so much for the review. I'm kind of branching out into other games more so now. I've been feeling better. I personally haven't been streaming more. Real quick, I'll kind of just give a NBA 2K update since I do have the shirt on right now. Shout out to the NBA 2K League. You know what I'm saying? NBA 2K21 was a game that I said that I was not going to buy. We know how notoriously bad the NBA 2K20 launch was. We saw everything and all of the media covering it. The microtransactions, the crazy bugs that were coming out. Things similar to what Emma was dealing with. You buy a certain champion outfit, you walk out of the store into the park, and nobody can see you. You're invisible on the court. Like, what is this? So just crazy stuff has been happening, but
the John Cena outfit.
You can't see me. Thanks to some good friends that we have here over at Video Game Bang. Shout out to my man Taylor. Shout out to Lexi as well. I've been able to, to experience, 2K21. And I will say that it is a very, very much more refined release this time around, much better. There was a really big issue with people shooting. They put in a new shooting mechanic. For all the people that dealt with bad latency, shooting was always based off of time and your rhythm. They put in an aiming mechanic now, so if you kind of dealt with some bad lag, if you aim the shot, you could get it to go in. They've since put a patch in for that. Shooting is even easier now. I think that's mostly because everybody's starting out and not a lot of people have their badges, so they made shooting a little easier so people can gain more XP, or what we call rep, and get more badges. So that's already been one thing that they've added into it. But I do have to say, a much more smoother game this time, a smoother launch, a smoother game. I still hate the grind, and it still costs way too much money and takes way too much time to build up your player. I literally loathe the grind, but I love team games. I love playing with my friends so much that I am grinding it right now. So NBA 2K21, I have to give it its props. We finally got a new park after 2 years of having the exact same park where everybody goes and plays multiplayer and plays. So all of those things, I do have to say that 2K21 much better this time around, and I'm enjoying the new shot mechanic. And so as of right now, I will say, out of all the recent 2K20s, I mean, as far back as 18, I think this is the smoothest one, the best one so far. If there were people on the fence about getting the game, I will say, if there is a 2K that you want to jump into, this will probably be the one. Of course, there's the fiasco of, well, which one do I get and what transfers over to next gen? That is something that you still need to be weary of. I would say wait for next gen if you're really, really that worried about it. But for people that, you know, aren't going to jump into next gen so soon, like myself, I'm probably going to wait until maybe around March next year to jump in. I went ahead and took the dive, and I have to say, I'm much happier playing this version of the game than any others. And that's my quick review for NBA 2K. I say, if you're feeling froggy, jump. And then a quick side note of that, we were talking about having a guest from the NBA 2K League in here, a pro gamer from NBA 2K League. The Sacramento Kings obviously have a team, the Kings Guard. And their former point guard, he just did get traded to the Blazers, so he's no longer part of the Kings Guard, but he is one of the most incredible and impressionable young men I've had the pleasure of interacting with. I was just cheering for the team as normal. He DM'd me after his family told me that they kept seeing my name in the chat. I thought that was crazy. I know some of the people from the team, but I have not met him thanks to the virus going around. So I just thought that was really cool. And he's down to come and do an interview. So anybody who's interested, about what it might be like to be in the NBA 2K League, what it takes to get into the league, or you just want to hear a really down-to-earth pro gamer who is sponsored by one of the best sports leagues in the world, the NBA, you want to hear them have a conversation? He said he's down to come and interview with us next week. So next week we'll have Bash, formerly of Kingsguard, currently of Blazers 5 Gaming, and a big shout out to that. And I know this is a long episode, but before we go, we have two more things. Number one, we had Janice Davis on the show last time around, kind enough to give us a copy of her game. And let me get the title right, because I know it's Ari, but it's a little bit longer of that. But we did a contest for the game, and we now know who the winner is. Ari and the Secret of Seasons. And by all accounts, what she told us, I haven't been able to play the game yet, but the storyline is ill, and I really like the way that the game's set up. So let me go. Did anybody drum roll, please? There we go. Well, I have to go secretly go over to the drum. Anybody drum roll?
I apologize. My dog is trying to jump.
You want me to keep going?
Okay, get the drum roll. All right, and the winner is Disguise Guy. So Disguise Guy, if you're currently watching, you have won a copy of Ari and the Secret of Seasons. We will reach out to you and get you your copy of the game. Again, big shout out to Janice Davis. Just one of the kindest, coolest, most open people that we've had the chance to interview. It's a treasure every time she comes on to the show. So thank you for giving us that copy of the game so that way we can give it away. And then finally, freaking 2020 being 2020, some not so fun news at all. Actually kind of took the wind out of my sails. For longtime listeners, probably will have noted that there hasn't been a comic book corner on here in a long time, sponsored by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. They were our comic book sponsors, good friends of ours, created drinks from the podcast that they would sell in the stores and everything. And Emma, I'm going to set you up to be the bad guy and tell everybody what's going on.
Oh, wow. Lovely. it's been really hard for a lot of local businesses in the wake of COVID and closures and all of that. So Oblivion has made the decision to close their doors. They will no longer be operating. And it's just, what do you even say to that? Like, it fucking sucks.
So bad.
So bad. Their coffee bar is closed, I think, immediately. I think they're pretty much done with that. They close that pretty quick. And if you go on their socials, you can check out, if you're local, you can check out how you can still kind of shop for a little bit. Oh my God, my dog is going to fall off my chair. They're reaching out about subscriptions and things for their comic books. But yeah, they're going to be a really big loss. They just had their third anniversary in July. But they'd done a lot in a short amount of time. So, and I'm really bummed out. It took me a long time when I moved back to Sacramento to find a comic book shop that I liked. And there's a shortage of comic book shops that, you know, are welcoming to everybody. And they're not going to make you feel like you don't have the right nerd credit, or you're not the right mold, or you don't fit whatever. You know, Oblivion was just a good place to be. You never went in there and felt like you weren't enough of something, you know, for this comic book shop. And I don't know how to replace that in Sacramento. Not that there aren't other great comic book shops, but there's no one else like Oblivion.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. There are other shops that are very solid, very, very good. But there are none that were like Oblivion. Laura, Neil, Jason, Ryan, I mean, Topeka, so many people, so many names over the time that I would go in there. Just always so welcoming, so inviting, and especially on the comic side. They had the mood set right. They had the vibe. The lights were right. You can ask for recommendations. I mean, everything. As many people would know, we would do trivia nights there. Aaron and his podcast. I mean, so many of our friends and everything, had a spot not only to go and hang out, but also like go and build community. And man. Yeah, it was really tough. It really sucked. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was how, like, sudden that I kind of heard it. But yeah, like once I heard it, it was just like, I don't know. I was really hoping that, you know, that would be one of the things that returned to normal once we got past all of this virus stuff, that we would be right back in there. And I tried to go down and get comics multiple times. The other thing that sucked is there was like construction going around, and mm-hmm. it was even difficult. I mean, it just seemed like everything was stacked up against them, and I felt so bad. But, you know, all I want to take the time to say thank you to Laura. Thank you to Jason. Thank you to Neil for everything that you did for us, all the comic books that you donated, giving us a spot to hang out, giving us a spot to, like I said, build community, just being awesome, incredible partners, being so gracious. There's not enough words that I could say for another hour of this podcast that would really, you know, do them justice for how well they treated us and how great of partners that they were for us. So I just want to thank them for everything that they did. Comic Book Corner eventually will return, but, you know, we'll figure out, you know, how exactly that'll be. But I just want to say for everybody here over at Video Game Bank, thank you so much to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for everything that you guys did while we were able to partner together. All right, everybody. Sorry to end the show on such a sour note, but before we get out of here, we normally go around and let you guys know what we're going to be up to. Emma, I know it's Friday, but before I do, and Emma, I have found a way, if you will indulge a mobile game, especially after playing this event, this Marvel game, I found a way to gain access to a Switch for you and to Marvel Ultimate Alliance. So I will leave it up to you if you have time to play, but I think if you could find time to even just do one stream to play it, I'd be happy to play with you and just compare the experiences of one Marvel game to the next. But outside of that, what's your normal streaming schedule looking like?
I stream Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 4 p.m., except for 6 p.m. on Thursdays, and I've been trying to keep to that lately, so I'm not kind of bouncing around all over the place. So catch me there, twitch.tv/msguys.
There you go. Catch her outside. Mr. Kyle, Mr. Wynn, any streaming going on? Anything else going on? Or are you just cold chilling and tell the people catch you next time you're on the show? What's up?
Yeah, I'm just cold chilling. I don't stream much. It's just not my thing. A disclaimer on Marvel Ultimate Alliance, though. The new one, I've played it a little bit. I do not like it as well as like the first two. Ooh. Those were really, really good, but those were like old school, like PS2, maybe PS3 and PSP. Those were really good. The new one I did not like. So I don't want Emma to like have her opinion of the series be based on this newest one. Just saying. Wow. Just
that
saying.
That is a good point. The previous ones, especially number two, I feel like, I mean, apparently I'm just going to say we're better, but I do really like number three. Maybe me and Kyle might have to talk about that next time.
Maybe. I didn't give it that much of a... I got so caught up in like certain minor things that like, okay, I'm just done playing now. I didn't like give it the longest of playthroughs. So. No, yeah, I don't have anything like going on. I'm not... I got maybe some interesting stuff happening in the near future. I'm in the transition period. I don't have any games coming. I just had one drop recently. Google Play Store Substitute Santa. My game that just came out like a couple weeks ago, so it's a fun, silly little game. That's all I got, though. No, we ran into an issue with it. We were going to, and we planned on it, but our entire framework is based off of Google technologies, and so it doesn't work with iOS. They don't like it.
Apple's App Store is fucking killing me. First xCloud, now this.
Yep. It's just a pain, dude. They're the worst store ever.
How about you, Curtis?
Me, I am back in the streaming game. I've been reading some comics over at twitch.tv/thinking_critical_YT. Catch me over there. Also on my channel, I've been streaming Resident Evil, Revelations 2, Raid Mode and Campaign. I've been streaming Marvel Ultimate Alliance because I've been grinding it like crazy. Hey, Remy is in there, man. That's my Gambit is in there, and his movesets are amazing. It's super fun. I found a community of people to play with, and they are some of the coolest, nicest people. They'll play whatever mode you're on, whatever level that you're at, and I'll help you level up. So I got to level 300 with one of my characters finally, so that was great. And it, it was faster getting to level 300 with these people than getting to level 40 without them. So that's that. And of course, now that I have 2K and I finally actually have a weekend off because I'm doing training for all the new products that Apple is putting out. So I got the weekend off and I'll be streaming 2K all the way through. So if you want to see me moan and complain while simultaneously having fun with my friends, twitch.tv/skipintosh. Thank you for everybody to everybody that was in the chat, especially Lincoln Break for putting Emma's Twitch in there, giving us a tweet earlier. Sir Butcher, appreciate you. Say no to Weave. Just want to give a shout out to Noxie, who hooked us up with some bits. Corey was taking a little family vacay, so shout out to Corey. He'll be back next week when we do the interview with Pro Gamer Bash from the NBA 2K League. For everybody that was joining us over at on our Twitch channel, thank you so much. For the podcast listeners, we appreciate y'all. And we'll catch you guys next week. And we're going to find someone to raid now that it is officially over. Let's see who is available. Again, thank you, everybody, who is tuning in. And big shout out to It's Bad Kitty with the raid. Came through with the big old raid, like,
hey, Kitty. I don't know.
Yeah, It's Bad Kitty came through with the raid like 17 minutes ago. We extended it a little bit longer. It went a little long, but hopefully the people that came in on the raid got to check us out. It's Bad Kitty is here sometimes too, so gives you a good reason to hit that follow button or whatever it's called on Twitch, because I know all that stuff.
It's just follow, yeah.
Is it follow?
Yeah.
Look at me. I kind of know some technical stuff.
My dog is destroying my legs. Millie, please.
How big is your dog?
She's little, but her claws are too long.
Oh, yeah. I know. My cousin's dog, who is here with us, poor thing, had gotten sick and had to go to the vet today, but luckily was able to come home a few hours later and felt much better. But, yeah, she's like a little, tiny old dog, but, gosh, barks so loud. But we love her just the same. I am not seeing anyone to raid here. Oh, wait, don't tell me we just got... Okay, I was about to say. All right, we're going to go ahead and just take off everybody because I don't see anybody else to raid. So again, It's Bad Kitty. Thank you so much. Everybody that tuned in, thank you so much. We'll be back next week with a special guest to interview. We will catch y'all next time. Peace.